The first scripture reading for today is taken from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne, saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. This is the word of the Lord.
I invite all of us to stand for the gospel reading. The gospel reading is taken from the gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1, reading from verses 67 to 79. And chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. Luke, chapter 1, reading from verse 67. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He will raise up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we shall be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he has sworn to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our path in the way of peace. Chapter 2, verse 18:8. And in the region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. An angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the day of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and shall be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in rendering cloths, laying in the manger. And suddenly there was the angel in a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth among those whom he pleased. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ.
Our Lord. Please be seated.
Good morning.
Morning.
Blessed Christmas morning. Yesterday it was such a delight to see SJSM out in full force offering that radical hospitality. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you. You did amazing, SJSM. I will share a little bit more next week. And I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful as the thousand strong SJSM grounds, they've really found that hospitality. Today we are blessed to have Bishop Rennis to preach. And Bishop Rennis has been very much a fatherly figure to myself. And I'm so grateful for this mentor, father in the faith. So will you join me as we welcome Bishop Rennis?
Thank you so much, Reverend Victor. Brothers and sisters, shall we pray? Lord God Almighty, as we turn to your word, help us to recognize the truth. Help us to behold you, the God who came for us because you so loved the world. Make this morning then a morning of joy and hope. In Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Such incredible joy for me to be here this Christmas Eve morning with my whole extended family in tow. For almost 20 years, we grew up in this family of God. Three of our children, all of whom were discipled here, now have children of their own. And then this crowded galleries here, the church has been blessed by God. Thank you, Lord. So, my dear friends, we count St. John's and Margaret's as one of God's choice blessings. Yeah, especially handmade by God and given to us. And we carry you in our hearts wherever we go. This week, I spent some time with the larger family in one of Singapore's offshore islands, Pulau Ubin, where both history and nature are preserved to give a window into Singapore's a pass. Those of you who have been there, you will readily identify with my description of the lush greenery, the quietly lapping waves, the frolicking butterflies, the running on the boardwalk with my children, or dashing actually in the lashing rain, and then the bumboat drivers who are not jostling for passengers, but they're as relaxed as the serene island, and they seem to know whose turn it is to take the passengers and how to count the passengers. There's no fuss at all, you know, it's really idyllic there. And I guess, friends, it gave me the sense of the world at its best. Gave me a sense of the beauty and potential of the world. And I think you will have your own moment, I'm sure. You will have your own moment of saying, Lord, thank you for this beautiful world. Thank you for the potential it has to be the place where we are living life at its best, you know, being fully human. But then we have to face what's going on in the world, friends. So we come to this service not, if you like, lounging in our own security and then, you know, having the Christmas festivities. We come to this service aware of all the pain there is in the world. Am I right? There are so many trouble spots where there is armed conflict. Someone counted about 32 where there are groups of people fighting with weapons. I think some of us can't really take in the television shots of all the suffering there is in Gaza. More than 8,000 children have been killed in Gaza. And then there's the periodic mass shooting. So we live with this, you know. Yeah, it's so mingled. Life is so mingled, no? And we ask ourselves, is there a resolution? Is it going to be like this on and on, you know? A good world and so much to enjoy and so much to grow in, but at the same time, a world of immense fear and conflict and brokenness, you know. So how is this going to be resolved? Can this be resolved? Well, on Christmas Eve morning, I have the great joy of telling you from God's Word, it can be resolved and it has been resolved by the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's the message for us today. There is good news. That's why the angel said to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy. That will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this is what needs to grip us in the midst. The world is in a broken down state and there are much tears. But God has not left the world like that. It's not going to be just oscillating like that. God has answered by giving his promised king. Let that take a hold of you as we look at the scriptures today. And Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, in the passage that was read by Brother Patrick, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, on the day that John is going to be named and circumcised, he's filled with the Holy Spirit and he's inspired to speak the words of God. And the words he says are, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. His son has been born miraculously, but his focus is not on his son. His focus is on the seed of David, that from the house of David, one has been born and he is a horn of salvation. He's a mighty savior. And this mighty savior, because of this mighty savior, God's sunrise has come upon us. And there are a few things I want to tell you about the sunrise from the Word of God. So firstly, the sunrise has dawned with the coming of Jesus Christ. This is what Zechariah is celebrating. At last, after centuries, the promised Savior King. God never turned his back on creation. God planned our salvation. And on Christmas morning, he launched it with the birth of his one and only begotten son. This horn of salvation from David's line, he will redeem his people. So if you have your Bible, it's always good as you hear the word of God. Just have your Bible open in whatever form you have it, book or phone. We hear these words, blessed be the Lord. That's the spirit in which Paul brought the word, you see. Blessed be the Lord, because he has blessed us. We are unworthy. We were lost. We were in misery. And it says here in verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited his people. Visited means God has drawn near with mercy. God has moved towards us with kindness to put right our human situation. And it says there, and redeemed his people. We were slaves to fear and the powers of darkness, but he has won us. He has freed us, made us his own children. This is what God has done in the coming of Christ. What Zechariah may not have known, but which this slide in front of you can help to capture, is Zechariah may have known the cost at which this horn of salvation from David's line, the cost he had to pay for our salvation. Yeah, those of us who've held a newborn child, you know those tiny fingers, right? So the tiny fingers of the child born in this manger in Bethlehem will reach out and embrace a cross. That's how he won our salvation. He died for our sins, beloved. Because what has brought all this suffering into the world, and God doesn't just watch at a distance, God weeps with a suffering world. And God has acted. And that's the good news. He sent his son. And his son, Romans 4:25, worth remembering, was delivered up for our trespasses. God delivered him up that he might die for your sin and my sin. And God raised him up and was raised on the third day for our justification. What it means is, God showed us by raising him from the dead, I accept the death of Jesus on our behalf. You know, I may say this respectfully, because of Jesus, you and I can look God in the eye, because they are eyes of mercy. We are clothed in Christ's righteousness. God has accepted his death, shown that by raising him from the dead. And because he's raised from the dead, we are put right with God forever. Are you with me, friends? This is the good news, you see. It must grip your heart in the midst of the tears. This must grip your heart. God has done it. And this sunrise will not end. We're so used to sunrise, sunset, right? But this sunrise will not end with sunset. This sunrise from on high will last forever and break into a cloudless day. This is the hope that comes to us at Christmas. At Christmas, we marvel at Jesus' self-humbling. Yeah. So although we will have festive joy, it's good in your quietness you remember he did not come with the trappings of a king. He was born on the dirt floor of a stable, through the womb of a teenager, and in the presence of a carpenter. Max Lucado describes it as majesty in the midst of the mundane. This is our God breaking in the mundane and doing his incredible work. A songwriter describes it so wonderfully. From heaven you came, helpless babe. Entered our world, your glory veiled, to give your life that we might live. So that's our Savior King, and he's come. And what a great salvation. He has rescued us from our enemies. It's good for us to know, you know, Jesus came at a time when his society, his nation, was oppressed by Roman rule. So it's very likely Zechariah, inspired, is saying, you know, when God comes, he delivers us from all our enemies, delivers us from all that oppresses us. And it includes social political structures, you know, wars and foreign government. And some of you here would have lived through the Japanese occupation. So you know, you have no control over your movement and over your own land. So, but when Jesus comes, he delivers us from all our fears. Now, I want you to know, it includes, if you like, freeing us from the political oppression. But Zechariah is inspired to say he frees us so that we, verse 74, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. So the word of God is saying, no, this is not just political deliverance. This at heart is spiritual deliverance, that you and I might serve God. We might run freely to serve him, just like yesterday, now, when this wonderful SJSM village was opened up, and you were free to serve him, make him known, that others might know his love. So this freedom is to free us from what makes us trapped by self, that we might be free to serve him. And the biggest enemy, friends, is sin. That which is in us, that which controls us, that which wants our interests to be met, that which gratifies desires which are forbidden by the Creator God, because they defile you, they dehumanize you. But sin is the, and sin, of course, leads to greed and leads to the lust for power and sex and money, and causes us to be unkind and wicked to each other. And Christ has delivered us. Amen. set free from sin, because with his death and resurrection, he's given us a new heart. As a new heart, you want to live in a different way. You don't want to live in the past, in the shadows of darkness. You're set free. So the biggest enemy is sin. The last enemy is death. He has delivered us from death. And we don't need to live with the fear of the shadow of death, because Christ has conquered. So he's rescued us from our enemies. And then he has brought us into God's covenantal blessings. And the person, the covenant that stands out in the mind of Zechariah as he's inspired is the covenant with Abraham. I will bless you. I will bless you. God wants to bless you. He's for joy and he's for life and he's for peace. He is. I will bless you and you will be a blessing. And for Abraham he said, and by you the families of the earth will be blessed, pointing to the seed of Jesus, seed of Abraham, which is Christ. Yeah, so he really wants us. I'm so blessed. God speaking fresh gives us number 6 this morning, fresh right from God. And the Holy Spirit moving. He's not just moving then, he's moving now in the church. And he gives gifts. And he says, today, my word is the Lord will bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. Receive it, beloved. It's from the throne of God for us this morning that we go into life with the blessing of God. I will bless you. I just quickly add, not for a comfortable life, but a meaningful, purposeful, fruitful life. A life that will form you for his glory. So, the sunrise has come already here. So don't live with your head down because the sun is there. Now I come to the second point. The sunrise is contested by the forces of darkness. You can trace that from this prophetic poem because it talks about to give light. This is verse 79. To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. So it is a dark world and the dark forces are there. And just because the sunrise has come doesn't mean the elimination of the dark forces. God in his wisdom with his great salvation plan has allowed darkness, but darkness on a leash. You know, it's under his sovereign control. So there's a battle going on, friends. The sunrise is contested by the forces of darkness. And this battle is even more fierce. This contest between good and evil, light and darkness, has intensified with the coming of Jesus, because the enemy, Satan, the arch enemy of God, knows his time is short. God has launched and God has conquered through his Son. So the arch enemy of God, Satan, and all his angels, both all his agents rather, both human and institutional, even the demonic, will seek to thwart the light and pull the world into darkness and will try to put out the light. I say this to you because in the grace of God, God has called my beloved and myself to be in the global Anglican field. So I'm well aware, made aware firsthand of the persecution of Christians in Sudan, in Myanmar, in Pakistan. Open hostility to the people who are redeemed by this light. There are people who want to put out the light. I need you to know darkness has many forms to dominate us. One is just hostility, intimidation. But the other is seduction. So darkness comes also with soft whispers on your business trip and leads you away, lures you in a conference room, how you handle money, what the company wants you to do, and how it wants the report to be written. So this darkness is there to thwart the light, to put out the light. But we have a strong word, church, don't we? It's in John's Gospel. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Remember that, because you and I will be tested, all of us. The pull of the darkness and the force of the darkness. So we need the light of the inward Christ. Build your relationship. And my introduction, I'm very grateful because this church discipled my four children, Amir and I. We know it. We did whatever we could, but the church, the junior church, the heartbeat, and then the cell groups, we needed that, you see, because we don't just attend a service. We are discipled to follow Jesus, to be accountable to one another, so that the darkness does not dominate and does not lure us away from Christ. Now, because the world is still dark, I want to just affirm, my dear friends, my wife Amira and I, we had the tremendous joy to visit one of our dear, 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 dear friends in the nursing home here. And as we waited for her to come down, we saw the children from Little Seeds singing songs and engaging Akong and helping the older folk to enjoy a morning of singing. I say this because the kingdom has come and the kingdom is advancing through us. And I know that God is still at work to make us one village. So we each have our corner of the world in which to shine the light of Christ. Are you with me, friends? Right? So people's lives, yeah, because, you know, loneliness can be a dark place when nobody visits you and when people assume you can't really participate in a conversation, so they don't really engage you. But the children and the youth and everyone, how can we be a light in the darkness? Even here, that this SGSM village shines the light as it did yesterday. But now that God has planted the nursing home, then we have to think, what does it mean to bring light in the midst of the darkness? I want to add one other thing because it's on the board. A light to the nations. So I know, because I'm part of you, God gave it to us that we don't just, the field in which we shine His light is not just here, present. It's here, present, and beyond. And I believe there are many. I enjoy having the SGSM cross-cultural workers over at our home to pray and to say, yes, God called you and we'll support you. And God will be with you in very vulnerable situations. So on this Christmas Eve morning, there are forces of darkness and the darkness of not knowing the true God. And that darkness needs to be broken by your testimony and mine, by word and by deed. It says then that this light of Christ is needed for the path of peace, right? That's how it ends. Okay, so the sunrise gives light to those sitting in darkness. And then what does it say? To guide our feet into the way of peace. We need this peace, as you can imagine, Ukraine and Russia and China and the States, and then of course Hamas and Israel. We need, so I thank God for those who are working. We need to pray for them, truth and reconciliation. We have a very fine example of Christians working for truth and reconciliation in South Africa, Desmond Tutu and so forth. This is God's world. He's not taken His hand off the world. He's renewing the world, church. And He wants to use us in that. And He wants to use us in our personal lives to follow the path of peace. So I very quickly just let you know, that means you follow the way of Jesus. It leads to peace. And the way of Jesus is forgiveness. The way of Jesus is not getting worked up when people are difficult with you. There's a lovely story, Luke 9. Jesus and the disciples are moving towards Jerusalem and the Samaritan town refuses them entry because he's going to Jerusalem. They are having a surly attitude, meaning to say they are unfriendly and ill-tempered. I have met them behind airline counters. It's true. Suddenly, you know, you want to make things clear about luggage and so forth, and they get very, very upset, especially if there's a line behind. Then you can throw your anger on them. Am I right? Because they irk you. But what I learned from that is James and John want to call down fire on them. Right? To destroy and judgment. Wow, you're so nasty to me. Yeah, I also condemn you, you know. But Jesus rebukes them and they walk away. They walk away because there's another day when this area, this Samaritan village, will receive him. It's in Acts 8. So I've learned not to call down fire on those who are difficult and block me and make life difficult for me. I've learned, I just walk away, follow the way of Jesus because it leads to peace. Now peace is not just the absence of trouble. Peace is a settledness in your heart where you are one with God. And you have the grace to be one with others. You're a person of peace. And this peace is for your highest good. Shalom. The Lord will bless you with shalom. So the way of peace. Now the third. So we have seen the sunrise has dawned with the coming of Jesus. But the sunrise is being contested by powers of darkness. Lastly, the sunrise will prevail in a glorious new day. That's why I'm singing the carols. That's why I'm enjoying you and enjoying my family in the midst. I'm not pretending the world is in a mess, but I know in my heart the sunrise will not end. Monsoon time, you know, sometimes early afternoon, suddenly the whole sky is overcast. Am I right? And there's rain, and you think, well, the sheets of rain, will this rain ever stop? But it does. And sometimes about 5 o'clock, the sun, which has been there all the time, the dark clouds pass. Am I right? And then you find, whoa, what a lovely day to go out. And you know, and that's what this inspired poem is doing now, friends. The sunrise, yeah, you may have dark clouds that block the sun's rays, but the sun will never go away. It's a non-setting sun. Jesus is a non-setting sun. Can you remember? Marriages may go through difficult patches. Children also will act up. But the non-setting sun, cry out to him. Ask him to teach you how to win back. How to be reconciled. How not to blame. How to extend forgiveness. Amen. And then the clouds will part. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? So this is the sun. The sun will prevail in a glorious new day. And so we have a new heaven and a new earth. So I need you to just move to Revelation 21 very quickly now. As I just paint you the picture, okay, world's in a mess and these dark clouds keep coming. But there's going to be a day when there will be no more dark clouds. It's going to be a day, friends. Dare you believe it? You know, many people say, oh, this is the opiate of the Christians. It's the pie in the sky, you know. I want you to know, I'll say it ahead of time. What does God say? Behold, I am making all things new, right? Then what does he say? Write it down. Write it down. It is done. Friends, if you don't have this strong conviction, you and I will be smothered and heavy laden and perhaps even in despair. Because these are dark forces. But write it down. Behold, I am making all things new. And there's a new heaven and a new earth. I need you to know the new is not that God discards the old. We have to look at the whole of Scripture. The new is what was old is totally transformed, totally renewed by fire, actually. And out of the old comes the new. So he does it. So this, you know, and I think of people looking after potted plants and all that. And I'm saying, well, what they are doing and people caring for the needy, this will count. Because in the new world is the old world totally transformed, gloriously renewed. That's the new heaven. Notice it's a new heaven and a new earth. So it's just helping us to know, please don't think everything is going to be dismantled and we're going to be angels in the sky. It doesn't tell us exactly, but we'll be engaged with God. And what we have done here, what you have done here, will count in His transformation. This gives great meaning. It's not a pointless community service. It's going to matter in the new heaven and the new earth. And there's no more sea, right? Verse 1, Revelation 21, verse 1. No more sea. Sea is where the dark forces of chaos, which threaten God's plan and God's people. And there's no more this heaving reservoir of human evil. You can't, I mean, what shall I say? Very hard to imagine, but it's the Word of God. A world without sin and without decay. Where we have a perfect and joyful communion with God. It's a rich passage, church. Maybe one day Pastor Victor or someone will unpack it. I just quickly give you the heart of it. God's dwelling places with His people. This word dwelling is so important. It's God. And where He dwells, there His radiant glory goes forth. He's already dwelling in the midst of the church, but it is not yet perfect. Not yet perfect, you know that. But that's His plan, that He will dwell with His redeemed people. And it'll be a joyful communion, and it'll be an unbroken. Right now, I have my good days, but I also have the days I struggle, and God is, I find the fellowship has been disrupted. So it's not unbroken, but when we are in the new heaven and the new earth, it'll be unbroken, right? New heaven and new earth, the dwelling place of God, you know, His presence in our midst, and His presence fills the whole creation. You don't need temple anymore, because He's made the whole new creation is being flooded with His glory, with His presence. You long for it? I long for it, friends. But more than that, I believe it. And the Word of God, that's why He says these words are trustworthy and true. Because God does not lie. Don't neglect the Word of God, can friends? Because everything is being challenged in the foundations. Parents with your children, unpack the Word of God meaningfully. They need it. Because these words are trustworthy and true, because God never lies. God is truth, no shadow of change with Him. And God is the Alpha and the Omega, it's all there. Which means what He starts, He completes. He's on the throne and He's completing. And those of us who are His redeemed children, who trust Him. And may I just say, Revelation is very clear, those who trust Him overcome the dark forces, overcome the intimidation, overcome the seduction of the world, the flesh and the devil. They overcome. And to him who overcomes, this is your inheritance. So we believe, we are saved by faith, but the faith shows itself in how we behave. I would love to finish there, but I can't. I can't because there's a great threat that's around us today. I need to call your attention to it. So, Revelation 21 verse 8 says, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. The great enemy of our time is universalism. Universalism says, at the end, God is so merciful and gracious, everybody enters the new heaven and the new earth. You can see it's very attractive, right? We can carry on as we are, and it doesn't really matter. It matters, friends. It matters if your loved one's name is in the book of life. It matters. That's why we work hard with Alpha and other things. Because if you are in this category, I just explained very quickly, the cowards are those who fear and serve man rather than God. They are the cowards. They fear and serve man and the system and not God. And those who are abominable are those unnatural vices. So there's a whole world of darkness. And unless people repent and come to the Savior, I say to you, it's not those who have lapsed or those in that condition who are not saved. They are those who are persistent and unrepentant. Are you with me, friends? So as we put the scriptures together, it's not saying that if you have been telling lies and getting away with it, you don't have a place in things. It's not saying that. It's when you're sold out to falsehood, when you reject the truth, when you go into what is wrong in God's eyes with such disdain and arrogance that you don't realize, you don't admit, you are wronging your Creator. Then you have no place in this wonderful kingdom. So as we come to Christmas, I bring you the sunrise, and the sunrise is shining because God is looking for the lost. God is renewing His church and looking for the lost so that as many as turn to Christ will share in His kingdom. Please stand with me, church. I have a slide now to help us to respond. What is the word of God? What is the response it is evoking? I believe that the first response is that you and I believe in Jesus. I say that because maybe there are some here and you've never clinched it, never come to saving faith, never said, Jesus, you're my Savior, you're my Lord. You've spoken to me through your word. It's my joy to make you my Savior and Lord. Thank you for your love. So there's those. But there are those who are drifting, because the world is badgering us with all kinds of thoughts. A different definition of truth. Stand firm, beloved. Stand on the rock of your salvation. I believe in Jesus, the Son of the living God, who died, rose again, is exalted, and is coming back to establish the new heaven and the new earth. Thank you, Lord. There will be some here, and you need to recover joy. Because life has been hard. It's true, my friends. As we age, it's more challenging, much more challenging. But the sunrise is there. And finally, my dear friend, the sunrise will carry you across the sea of death into glory. Fear not. Enjoy the days He has given you, the warm balm of the evening sun for some of us. For some of us, we're confined to the home, but our spirits are alive. Thank you, Lord. Rejoice. Rejoice in the fullness of salvation that is coming. It is coming. It is done. Write it down. It is coming. Yeah, thank you, Lord. And then, finally, we'll want to renew our participation. We want to say to God, Lord, you are renewing the world. I'll participate in it. Thank you, Lord. And our collective responsibility, those of us who belong to St. John St. Margaret's, our collective responsibility is our village and the mission fields. Thank you, Lord. We're going to worship him as the team comes. We're going to exalt the name of Jesus. I'd like to give you an opportunity to hear God and to respond to God. What is God saying to you this morning? If you're responding in the ways that I have suggested, it's just one list. You're saying, here I stand, I can do nothing, I believe in Jesus. And you say, Lord, I need this joy to be restored to my soul, the joy of your truth. And I need that joy. And Lord, I want to renew my participation in what you're doing. I just invite you, would you open your hands? That's maybe a good way to say, Lord, the God who blesses me, I want to bless you with the offering of my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This Christmas, let joy and hope flood your soul. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be blessed now as we worship. Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit. Immerse us in the love of Christ. And immerse us in the victory of Christ. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a beautiful name. In the name of Jesus. Amen.